Hello, my name is Mercury and welcome to this brand new episode of Media Fae. Today I am alone, today I'll be discussing the second season of Loki. So yeah, finally we're discussing this series. Sorry it took a while to actually get to doing more of a Phase 5 MCU. But we're speedrunning through it, so we don't have anything left for when Deadpool comes out later this year. Later this summer, really. So, yeah, fair disclaimer, this is unlike the Secret Invasion and I'm Groot episode, this wasn't pre-recorded. I am recording this like any other Media Fae episode, just sort of talking about it a few days before it's supposed to come out, or a few hours at this point. It's been 7 months since the series ended, since the series concluded. Oh, yeah, no, 6 months since the series concluded. If I don't remember anything from it, know that it's been 6 months. It's not like with Secret Invasion Iron Group, where it was, again, like, sure, it was around 6 months since Secret Invasion ended by that point too, so we're not like that far away. But like, I might not remember a lot of stuff, and I'm at least like a bit after, like I think 2 months after that, so it was a bit fresh in my memory. This is in the same boat as Secret Invasion, so if I don't talk about stuff that in depth, it's because I don't remember it. But yeah, let's just kind of start right into it. So this is the second season for a show that was made in live action. This is the only time this has happened, and I think this is one of the few times it will happen. Because we have gotten second seasons for other shows before this and after this. For example, I Am Groot was, Iron Groot was Iron Groot, what, got the second season before Loki did, like I think a month before Loki did. And What If got the second season after Loki did, and that was like a daily episode stuff. We're gonna talk about that, I think the episode after the next episode, which is the Marvels, which is, again, the Marvels was 6 months ago. I didn't watch it 6 months ago, but hey, that's a lot fresher in my memory, I think. And anyways, let's just get into it. One of the things I gotta mention is that a recent TV series from Marvel got finished up, and that's X-Men 97. Now, with this, like, but before everything, I used to make like compilations for all the episodes, and I kind of canceled that because of when we were putting it on the RSS feed on YouTube, and I didn't want that to just sort of be there. So it'd be the compilation episodes to be there, so I decided to just cancel them entirely. So that was MCU, and now Marvel Studios is doing other stuff. So how is X-Men 97 going to work? Well, the MCU will have to go through this like order of when things are coming up, but X-Men 97 is an MCU, so we're going to cover that as soon as possible. But yeah, just putting it out there, X-Men 97 review won't be coming out in like 5 months, hopefully. So yeah. And also, just putting it out there for, so we don't have to sort of, how do I say this, like not do things when they come out. We are gonna try to do the episodes, like the new releases of stuff as soon as possible, so it doesn't like clog up the episodes. But yeah, just saying it like that. Just saying it. So let's actually get into Loki season 2. And let's talk about the CGI in action. So I put these two together mainly because there's not a lot of action in the show, and To be honest, I mean, there is action. There are fight scenes, but they're kind of minimal. Well, let's talk about CGI first. And the CGI, like the first season, is pretty good for a TV show. I don't remember any, like, really bad parts of it. And there is, and it just looks incredible, kind of like Eliath in the first season. It just looks really, really good. And that's a lot. That's like the best way to put it. It looks really good, and that's saying something. That we can have really good CGI without it looking like complete and utter shit. Take notes, Secret Invasion and She-Hulk. So, yeah, it looks really good. Like, they're just the fucking, what's it called? I forgot what it's called. The time weaver thing or something. I don't remember what it's called. The loom, the time loom. Yeah, the loom. Like, all the loom scenes are really good. And we're going to spoilers, like, every single episode we do not say spoiler warning, because we hope that you've already watched it. We might start doing that because we're going to read things earlier than we used to do, like we're doing now. But we're not putting spoiler warnings, because, you know, you're supposed to have already watched the show by then. And right now, it's been 6 months since Loki ended. If you haven't watched the show, that's on you. But when Victor Timely, like, dies, like, it gets split apart into spaghetti, that is a really impressive scene. You see all of it, like, we see, like, bones and stuff. That is very impressive, and it looks really good for a TV show. It's like, movie quality. But, like, Phase 3 movie quality, not Phase 4 movie quality, because Phase 4 movie quality looks like Thor: Love and Thunder. And also, I have to specify, not like Black Panther. Black Panther, for some reason, like, was the exception of, like, pretty bad CGI. Also, for some reason, all the Black Panther movies have terrible CGI, but that's it. That's out of here and out of there. Talk about Loki now. But yeah, Loki looks, it looks really good. And there's not, like I was going earlier, there's not a lot of action in the show. And I'm not that mad about it, and it's not like it's bad action. The thing is with this show is that it's mostly, I would classify mostly as a thriller. Because like the action of the show is mostly just like really tense scenes of trying to get things done in time, and there's like one action scene or two action scenes, and then mostly throughout the midpoint of the series, and they mostly revolve around Sylvie and Renslayer and all that. So there's not a lot of action scenes in the show. But honestly, I think that even then, it really didn't need it, because that's not what the point of the show, what the point of the season was. So yeah, I'm not that mad about the action not being that, like, prevalent. But I wouldn't call it a bummer. It's just, I'm not that mad about it, honestly. It's not like this needed the action to really be good. I think the CGI and, well, the characters and the plot really pull it all together. Speaking of the characters, let's talk about the characters. Loki. Let's start with Loki. So, Loki goes through a big, big, big character arc in this. If I can remember what it was. So, Loki... So Loki is trying to stop Kang from coming into the multiverse and all that, and he realizes that the loom is sort of breaking and all that, and he's going through. He's time slipping because of the loom. I think that's what it was, that he was time slipping because of the loom. So when I watched the show, when I was watching the show, I was like, well, they sort of solved time slipping in the first episode. Is that ever gonna come back? And it did. It did come back in a really creative way. So when the loom breaks, fuck, and all that scene. Like he goes back in time slipping, and then he must have controlled it for the final episodes. And it's like the real, it is like this Loki's arc here of him becoming like trying to save it, and he sort of accepting the fact that he had to, like, pretty much sacrifice himself to be the savior of the multiverse and make the big tree that we see at the end is really cool. And I think it is, and I think I would call it a better redemption than what we saw in the Thor movies. Yeah, I think it's a much better redemption than we saw in the Thor movies. Because that character and this character are completely different. I did criticize Loki season 1 for having Loki sort of see the... So just like, kind of watch his moments, his future, what would be his future, and like, oh, well, now you went through all the character drama, now we're back at where we were in like Thor Ragnarok with him, for some reason, not letting him kill people. But I think this sort of like overrides that. It's just a lot. It's better. I think that's the other thing. This is better than what it than what we saw like back then. This sort of remedies that. And I just think Loki's like arc here is really well made. It does continue off that, but thing is, that's the fact that Loki just kind of saw his future and kind of took all that character development and like fucking threw it out the window in season 1. I feel like that piece is a very big black stain on Loki's character arc. Because it looks like explored a lot more before the point that we see it here. I think this could have hit a lot harder. Like maybe instead of him just not liking to kill people, maybe it's because maybe he saw that he would just that later on he was kind of be used for stuff and he would have to find this was not the glorious purpose that he thought he would have. I think that would have been a much better way, just instead of just saying I don't like him, just saying like, he doesn't like to kill people. I think it should have been like maybe he doesn't like he would he the god the one destined to rule he one he thought was destined to rule Asgard would instead like not like to be used and sort of dying away. At that point, it's like not dying away, where he would just kind of like in the end of it all, he was just used by Thanos, and that's not something he likes. Oh yeah, only for Thanos to just kill him in the end. I guess something he would like, so he would try to find a new purpose in life instead of just doing people's bidding to get power to finally get a takeover Asgard. Just kind of spitballing here. Just trying to just thinking up stuff. But yeah, I think that would have been a much better stuff, and maybe he maybe being here, maybe even finding it and sort of saving these people that are like him, like a variant and stuff. I think that would have been a lot more interesting. A little more interesting, I don't know, that's more interesting. Like, I'm not fleshing out these ideas, so just that, you can take that however you want. But I feel like, just if they change that part of Loki's character arc here, instead of immediately turning into a good guy, maybe he should evolve into a good guy. Like, maybe just, like, maybe in season one, he should have been opposed to the Timekeepers. He didn't want to, because he was what he, because he didn't want to get take control from anybody, he wanted to take orders from everybody, but he kind of had to sort of like to live pretty much, and then at the end he would become, and then he would take over the Timekeepers because he couldn't deal with, he couldn't deal with their bullshit anymore, and then like go through all the motions and like pretty much. You know, do the same things in Loki season 1, but here it'd be a, I think it could have worked a lot more. If they just went a different direction. I think sure it's a really good ending for Loki, I think, for this Loki specifically. Like I like where it ends, I like how it goes. I just think that maybe season 1 should have set it up more. No, that's the thing, I think season 1 Should set up more what season 2 had, because season 2 is incredible. But yeah, that's really about. I think I got rid of Loki. I really do like his character here, but I just think it would have been a lot better if season 1 really delve into how to make this one feel like, you know, like an actual. Whole like show about having Loki become a good guy. I think that would have been a much better show. I mean, it's still a very good show, but I think it would have elevated the series to a higher standard for a lot of people. Because for some, I don't know why, but a lot of people don't like Loki season 2. But yeah, moving on. So. Next up is Sylvie. Now, Sylvie doesn't do a lot in this show, honestly. People are trying to find her, then when we do find her, she doesn't do much. And she's a big part of why the season happened, really. She killed Hugh Remains, which allowed all the variants to sort of pop up, and that's why they find Victor Timely and all that, but she doesn't really do much as a character. And she doesn't evolve as a character, really. It's sort of disappointing because Sylvie was a big part of season one. Like she was a big part of season one, and she just isn't here. Yeah, she's here. And she's here for like the few, like the end seasons, like you know, like the finales and all that. But she's not here for like a big reason, you know. It's sort of weird, and a big disappointing. Because I would have liked to see a lot more development from Sylvie in this season. And I do like what they had for her here. She's just sort of retiring to part of the Sacred Timeline, just like a branch. And doing like just living a normal life, and then it becomes interrupted because it becomes interrupted when the loom fails. Or when like everything about the loom is failing, you know, and all that. So yeah, I think it could have been a lot more interesting, but she didn't really do much, and that's kind of, I don't know, not as interesting. Just not as interesting, I think. It's just how it goes. Not as interesting as it could have been or should have been. So yeah, Sylvie is rather disappointing in this season, but I think I get why they sort of sidelined her. It's because of Loki's arc. Now, Loki's arc, yes, it involved Sylvie. Sylvie's arc wasn't that fleshed out, and I think it was because of the time limit, because this season is, again, also 6 episodes. So, yeah, I think it was much more of a time constraint that the focus more on Loki's arc than on Sylvie's arc, as well as fleshing out other characters. Other characters, such as my next character, Mobius. So, Mobius has a very interesting character arc in this. So, he just kind of, he accepts the fact he's a variant. Like, he's fully aware of the fact he's a variant, but he doesn't really care about it and doesn't really want to know about what his life was in a variant, in the sacred timeline, because he doesn't like care all that much. And he doesn't want his mind to be tainted by the implications of what could have been his life, or what should be his life, really. But like after that, he doesn't really care, and like, and he does like look at it, and he looks at the beauty of what his life could be and all that. And I think, I think it's really cool. What they did with Mobius here. It's a very interesting way to look at like at the sacred timeline, all that. I again just wish that now I'm looking at all the holes in this season. Now I'm looking at it like I just like it's interesting, but like. We do learn a lot about what Mobius does in this. But I just think that we needed like more of more screen time of him. And then maybe coming to terms with that fact at the end of the series, so it makes sense why he's looking. I mean, I can guess why he's looking at it, because now there's like, you know, he quit the TVA and he just wants to look at what his life should have been and all that. And I think that could have been a good way. I could have been good, but I don't know. I guess maybe seeing him. I think I'm probably just remembering right now that I probably looked at that just to like appreciate Loki's sacrifice to really keep the timeline at bay and all that, and to appreciate what Loki was like trying to save. And to be honest, like, yeah, it's a good way of looking at it, but I feel like more screen time of Mobius coming to terms with that, I think would have been a lot better, because he just kind of, because after the Loom stuff, he kind of disappears until we sort of meet him again. Anyways, I'm almost done with the characters, actually. So let's talk about OB, one of the new characters in this, or Ouroboros. I actually really enjoy what they did with Ouroboros here, OB. I feel like he's a fun character. I enjoyed him as like the writer. Like, yeah, I think that was pretty fun. That's a pretty fun stuff what they do with Ouroboros with the writer part of of a Kim in the original Secret Timeline, and kind of being a science fiction writer. And him sort of helping Loki with the time slip, controlling the time slipping. That it became a crucial part of the final few seasons. And I just like it. I just like him as a character. He didn't have a character arc unlike Loki or Sylvie or Mobius. But he was rather enjoyable for like a side character, and he had a lot of funny like stuff, like when he said like we're all doomed, and it's like, well, yeah, we're fucked. like full on. And he was kind of right, you know? There was no way that they would be able to fix the loom without Loki sacrificing himself. And, you know, like, they weren't all completely doomed. But yeah, like, him trying to save it through, like, mathematics and stuff, like, him trying to save it through his old methods wasn't gonna work, and yeah, I mean, it didn't. He was right, and I really do enjoy the like time loop aspect that Ouroboros and Victor Timely have. It's such a good like joke to play on the Ouroboros cycle. I think it's called the Ouroboros, because Ouroboros is like a snake that bites his own tail if ever lets go with the fucking world's dead. But it's a really good play to make the book like written by Victor to inspire OB, and then they bring back the book to Victor, so he gets inspired by the book written by OB to write the book that OB would base his work off of. It's a really good joke. It's a very basic joke for a character with Ouroboros as his literal name. But it's a very good, it's a very creative joke. Like, in the aspect of not just making it, like, normal Ouroboros and all that. And also him, like, and him, you know, like, helping Loki with the time slipping. That was also, like, a really, I don't know, like a really creative part of actually, like, making, like Ouroboros. Like, it felt like Ouroboros would like help him with all the time stuff, because hell, he's supposed to hold together all of time. He's supposed to repeat all that for all time. It's I gotta say, what he did with Ouroboros here is very cool. He's a side character. Yes, he doesn't have all that much stuff, but he's still very cool. Speaking of other side characters, Victor Timely / He Who Remains. So I thought that season 2 would have a bunch of Kang variants, and well, we didn't get that. We did not get Kang variants. This will be the last time we see Kang, or really any Kang variants, or He Who Remains variants. I did like what they did with He Who Remains in season 1 and making him a Kang variant, or at least the original Kang. Like, that was interesting. It was interesting way to take the character of He Who Remains. But, and I do like that we see the other variants in, like, Quantumania, but that will never get touched upon. That will be another one of the MCU's loose ends. Because the MCU is allergic to recasting, unless it's for, like, side characters. Because they, but they, yeah. But yeah, Victor Timely is a very cool character. He's not like the other Kang variants. He's not evil. He's not trying to conquer the world. He's just trying to make his inventions work. And that's, I think, really cool. So, Yeah. Also, we do see he remains in the series. I just remember we do see he remains, and I do like the conversation he and Loki had. Like, it was a very like, I liked it. And it was very, to be honest, I don't remember much about it. I just remember liking it. But yeah, no, like it was. I feel like he remains made up. Everyone who talked in this at the end, like the end of the season, really made a strides in. Oh yeah, like he remains like realized that this wasn't the Loki that was right there or something, and like, oh yeah, like he was right about killing, about like him being killed and all that, like everything would break, and like he's come back and like, well, I mean, he can fix it, but I was like, yeah, you're fucked. I just remember what that was. I don't remember much about the series because it's been a while. It's been quite a bit since the series ended. But yeah, so again, and I was going to talk about Victor. Victor isn't a villain in this, and that was a very interesting way of making Kang Barry. Kang Barry didn't really be here, and he was trying to make his vengeance, and sort of needed him to go to the loom because the only one who could go to the loom or access the loom would be Hero Remains. And then Hero Remains and then Victor gets obliterated, and that's really like a shit moment. But I did like Victor's character here, and being sort of like very, and him sort of taking things for granted and like seeing stuff, like people sort of taking him along and like, oh well, this is where we are now and stuff, and not being able to believe stuff, and then finally being like, yes, the loom is like your creation, all that's based on your creation, which brings up the point, like, is Victor the original? Like, he can't be because Kang is supposed to be, Nathaniel Richards, which is like Reed Richards is like great 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 grandson. So yeah, I don't know if it's that or something, because maybe Victor was one of the variants like make this stuff happen. Like happen, I don't know. It could be spoiled upon, but I don't think it will. So yeah, I keep saying so yes so much. I do like Victor. Like Victor is a very interesting character, and I do like that he just gets fucking obliterated. Like, he wasn't important. Like the big subversion, he wasn't important, and that's really interesting. It's a very cool way of making this happen, like making the show like continue with the plot and stuff. It's very interesting. It really is. So let's talk about some other characters that really show up in here. So Casey is still a side character. Doesn't really do much. I think in the show doesn't really do much. He becomes one of the main cast members, like at the end and stuff, but he's not really like very important. Another character I actually like, kind of confused about, is B-15, the Hunter B-15. Where did this character's characterization come from? This is one of my main grabs of the show. Okay, I was on top of the plot, but just putting it here. B-15 caring about the Sacred Timeline comes out of nowhere. Like, it is. It comes out of absolute nowhere that this character wants to save the Sacred Timeline. It's like, oh, well, there's people on the Sacred Timeline. To me, it makes no sense because this takes immediately afterwards. To me, it really doesn't make sense that this character wanting to preserve the branches they get timeline. When they were 100, they were made. They were trained to purge those branches. It kind of came out of nowhere. Whoops, I knocked the phone. It kind of came out of nowhere. So, like, I would have liked to see this character have a character arc, like, to go there. And here, like, it is brought up quite a bit in this show, but I don't know. I feel like her, like, development here came out of nowhere. Oh, wait, no, we had that one scene in, like, season one where Sylvie showed her the, like, her life on the Sacred Timeline. But that was one scene. That was one scene. I think we ever saw her again after that. So, yeah, it's weird. It's weird. I don't know. Like, and again, that was one scene. Like, I think we could have done a lot more with the character. And the last character I want to talk about is Renslayer. So Renslayer is another, like Sylvie, I think it's another really big missed opportunity, because Renslayer is a big character in, like, Marvel. She's supposed to be the, I think she's supposed to be Kang's wife or something, like Kang's, like, yeah, partner or whatever. But she doesn't really do much. Like, she's up for one episode, one or two episodes, and then she's in the void. I feel like we could have done a lot more with Renslayer. We could have done a lot more, but we didn't. We didn't do more with Renslayer. So yeah, it's a bit disappointing. It is a bit disappointing to see Renslayer sort of brought down to this level of just like a non-assistant character. She's up to get Victor Timely, like for the race of Victor Timely. And that's really it. That's really about it. And I think it's to get Miss Minutes. And they don't like each other. And then I don't know what happens to Miss Minutes and Renslayer. I think Miss Minutes gets destroyed or something. And Renslayer is just sent to the void. Will we see her in Loki? In Deadpool Wolverine? Probably not. I don't think we're gonna see any MCU characters in Deadpool Wolverine. But yeah, there's that. But yeah, Renslayer's a bit disappointing. Kind of a side note to end on before we get to the plot. So this is a very interesting show. It's structured, I guess, a bit weirdly. So, like I said about B-15, B-15 and like most of the main cast wants to save the branch timelines and like make the loom bigger so it allows the branch timelines to exist. But there's like these few TVA agents that want they want to just purge it all, and they do sort of do that almost. But again, like, I feel like with B-15 and all the other characters, I think it should have been just developed. I think they just needed two more episodes to really bring it all together. Because sure, it would have been cool to care about all those people, but I don't really care. I didn't feel anything, because I was like, wait, Didn't we say that having branch timelines is a bad thing? And look at season 1, now we're like supposed to care about them in season 2? With no sort of like actual development in that sector. Like, it's just, we just needed more of this stuff. But I do like that it kind of goes nowhere and then like it doesn't help at all. Like, it went nowhere, the loom still fails, and episode 4 was one of the best. Like, the first half of Loki season 2 is kind of not, I wouldn't call it the best, but the second half is amazing. Like, it is spectacular. I love the where the loom breaks and it's just like all hope is lost when like Timely dies and like and all that. That's very cool. And then like they'll get sent all over time and meeting all these variants and having to control the time slipping, which comes back, like I said, comes back from episode 1, and him becoming the timekeeper, really, like the keeper of time, the god of time. Him finally finding the glorious purpose. Instead of being the king of Asgard, he's the king of the multiverse. Very cool stuff in the second half, and that's really what would catapult it to like. And I'm gonna jump the gun a little. It would have catapulted. I feel like if it just had 2 more episodes at the beginning before we really jumped into that sort of part of it, like we jumped into the second half. I feel like this season could have easily. I didn't want to put it on S tier, but like thinking about it now, it's still like great. It's a really great season, but you have to get through all the problems that season 1 left behind to really get to like the good part. It continues from season 1 rather well. Like, we see all the characters where they went afterwards and what happened afterwards. I also like the sort of at the end, like trying to get to the loom and all that, like the races and then the race to get there, how it's all like everything's interwoven, like in season 1 and like episode 1, they're in episode 4, and as they explain as it goes on, that's really cool. And I know it's like time, it's a basic time bucket series stuff, but it's really cool they executed here and how like important to the plot it is. Yeah. And speaking of like just like important stuff, like I said earlier, like this isn't really an action based season. It's very thriller-y. It's trying to get stuff done but not like in an action sense. And I do like the fact that we don't have a villain. Like there's antagonistic forces, sure, but they're not the main villain of the show. The season has a problem, and the main plot is to fix it. And there's no villain, and that's really cool. It's something that I think we need in more of these shows. We don't need we don't need villains. We really do not need villains in. Sometimes we just don't need a villain. We're gonna talk about that when we get to What Season 2, but like we don't need villains in shows. Like in these shows, like we just need a problem, a good plot, really to go along with it. We really didn't need a villain in Loki Season 2, and that is a good thing. I think a villain would have tainted this a little. It would have tainted the big finale, would have tainted everything. Because it is. I don't think it would have worked. I don't think the show would have worked with a villain at its center. That's just how it goes. And the final thing I want to talk about, like, the plot is the emotional depth. So, like I said earlier, I didn't really care about the branch of timeline getting eradicated. I just wasn't, like, I didn't really care about that. But I did care about seeing, like I said earlier, Mobius, not really hiding away from his sacred timeline, like, self, from his original self. And Loki sort of coming to terms with what he has to do. And becoming like the time god, and that was, and it's like it does it well. Like, it does like the emotional stuff really well, and you're like, finally, yes, Loki has like found this purpose to become an anchor for all of reality, and that's really does it well. I think it does it well. This season does a lot of things well, but it's just the first half trying to like save itself from season one. It really didn't do that well. But the second half, chef kiss, really good. So my last point isn't like a future. I'm pretty sure this season is done. Like, this season is in fact done for now. Loki season 1, season 2 is like, Loki as a show is done. I don't think we're getting any more seasons. But finally, the main plot of the multiverse saga is moving forward, and the last time we got any development was Quantumania, which sure was four MCU projects ago. But it was four. But we needed more stuff. We don't need setup for other stuff happening in the world. We just need more stuff happening in the multiverse saga. What I think, the main thing that Phase 4 is, the multiverse saga is bad at, like it's not good at, is the multiverse. What I think would have been a much better phase saga, I guess, would have been like a aftermath saga instead of a multiverse saga. Instead of immediately going into a main battle, like maybe doing like projects with big bats and them interconnecting and all that, but we shouldn't have gotten multiverse immediately. I think we could have saved the multiverse for later and really like running into the aftermath section and seeing the world either go into chaos and all that, and then Kang comes in. It's like, well, now we have to unite everybody back. That would have been a much better stuff instead of seeing a multiverse saga. Maybe an aftermath saga of the characters, where the characters go after Endgame. That would have been much better for the character, but we're in the middle of the multiverse saga now, so there's not much we can do about that. Yeah, the main plot of the saga is moving forward. Finally, we do see like the timelines getting all like woven in together of the multiverse. So hey, who knows? We might see more characters from other like Marvel stuff come in here and appear. But we don't know. We really don't know what happened after this. I do think Loki season 2 will be a very important part of the multiverse saga, because it's the only important part of the multiverse saga. But what I don't like about Loki. It's not really about Loki. It's much more about the multiverse. It's much more about the multiverse saga in general. That it doesn't try to tie into Loki. It just tries to just like use the elements from Loki and put them in the movies. I hope that Deadpool Wolverine touches upon Loki stuff, because as a TV, it has the void. We need more Loki stuff, like in it, because Loki is very important. The show is very important. So we need more stuff like that. And now that Kang isn't a main player, where do we go after? Like, they essentially, I don't like it. They like the Loki finale wrote Kang out of the equation. And we're supposed to get Kang Dynasty. So I don't know. Like, why can they do this? Why? Why do that? Like, I don't know if it was anywhere like was anywhere good to go. But it's just why, like, that was, what's the main grab of it? Why would you write out the main villain of the saga in a show? Like, we're not gonna see Kang again, I don't think. Because Marvel gave up on him. Because Marvel, like I said, Marvel's allergic to recasts. So we might not see Kang again. So it's kind of like a loose end. I don't know where we're gonna go after this in like the multiverse stuff. We are gonna see where we go after this in Deadpool and Wolverine. But yeah. So, final verdict. Loki season 2 was great, but the first half has a lot of problems that stem from season 1 not doing a good job of explaining it. So that's why I'm explaining stuff that wasn't like a, like that could have been fleshed out season 2. So that's why I was really gonna give that an S tier, but I'm gonna give Loki season 2 an A tier because of the first half and the second half being amazing. I'm not gonna give it an S tier. And I'm actually gonna put down season 1. So originally this show made me put onto A tier because of how good season 2 was, and I thought season 2 was an S tier. But then I did this episode, like, well, season 2 has a lot of problems in the first half, which stem from season 1. So I'm taking season 1 from S tier to B tier. Officially, that's my last thing. Season 1 had problems. Had a lot of problems. Actually, I don't know. Like, we had the big thing. Thing is, I think a lot of the problem, like, I don't know. You know what? I'm gonna keep them both in A tier. They're both going in A tier. Like, a separate seasons, they're both going in A tier. But I'm not gonna count this as a part of this stuff. But I think Loki, the show as a whole, is B tier because the season 1 doesn't really go around. You know what? They're both A tier. So season 1 and season 2 are both A tier as separate seasons. But the show as a whole is B tier. I'm not gonna count it. I'm not gonna count the show as a whole. But I am gonna count the separate seasons as A tier. So, yeah. What did you guys think about Loki Season 2? Leave in the comments below. You can find all our socials on our channel page, on the D Entertainment YouTube channel. And for me, Mercury, it's at MercurySC on YouTube, web at AO3, and fanfiction.net. MercurySCheese on Twitter, and MercurySCheese on Twitch. So, yeah. That's about it. See ya.